I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We are celebrating 22 years in business and just entering our 8th year of doing this open line program. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2016 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication and event tab. Over the years, we've covered quite a number of topics, so you can pretty much bet whatever issue you're having an opportunity to look at in your business, we've addressed it. Plus, our new book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Our topic today is finding top talent in a tight market. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and I'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, and you can take a look at those by going to our website. And in fact, we just opened an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to interact with a U.S.-based company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area that you can send questions or ideas in during our discussion. We'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So during the program, you may want to write down two or three questions. If you don't submit them, again, you send them in or hold them till the end of the program. I want to introduce our guest today, Brad Remillard. Brad is a longtime friend and business colleague. Brad is a wonderful human being, by the way, and truly knows his craft. Brad's an executive recruiter with more than 30 years of experience and has conducted more than 10,000 interviews and has been involved in more than 2,000 executive searches. In 2015, along with his partner of 25 years, Barry Deutsch, he co-founded the company Impact Hiring Solutions. This firm is dedicated to providing best practices, hiring techniques to companies seeking to reduce turnover, recruit qualified candidates, improve interviewing that reduces hiring errors and eliminates candidate embellishment and exaggeration. Impact Hiring Solutions accomplishes this via its on-site managed hiring workshops, utilizing it's a trademark program called Success Factor Methodology, and Brad will talk about that a little bit today. It's a phenomenal program. These comprehensive in-house workshops and training programs are highly customized solutions to dealing with specific company needs. Brad has trained thousands of managers on how to recruit, interview, and retain top talent for both Fortune 500 companies and entrepreneurial companies of all different sizes. We were just talking about mid-cap companies, which is a big focus for Brad. I feel privileged to have Brad back on Open Line again with us today to share his ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be the secret sauce, a recipe for growth. Brad, welcome back to Open Line.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that introduction and the time you spent on that. So today we're going to focus on one aspect. Dana mentioned we have our trademarked process called the Success Factor Methodology, which is really a hiring process. And every hiring process has to have five steps, minimum. There's a lot of sub-steps, but first you got to properly define the job. You have to then successfully find candidates. You have to, third step is you have to effectively interview that person and get to the truth and eliminate embellishments. You have to have a follow-up vetting process after the interview to properly vet that candidate and identify future areas for that need to be explored or vetted further. And then the fifth is you need to have some kind of outside third-party validation tool to validate what the candidate told you during that interview they really did in fact do, which is goes to the embellishment. Did they embellish or did they really tell you the actual truth? And one of the tools we use for that, of course, is Dana's 16 PF form with all of our clients to help get that work style and behavior. Today we're going to talk about one of those five steps. A hiring process is not just training my managers how to interview. The problem with that is you can train them how to interview all day long, but if they're only, if you're not finding top talent, they're just validating, they're not qualified people in a good interview. So how do we find that top talent is what we're going to focus on today, and maybe later on we'll focus on some of the other steps. So the biggest question that always comes to mind is, why is it so hard to find top talent? They're out there. Everyone knows they exist. So why is it so hard to find top talent? I think one of the biggest reasons why is that most companies start the hiring process when they need somebody. That tends to be the biggest reasons why it's so hard to find top talent. To me, finding top talent is just simply the flip side of the same coin of finding customers. I don't know of any company that starts looking for a customer when they need one. Every company I know has a sales force out there looking for customers all the time, calling on customers that they know they're not going to get a business with today, but if we start building a relationship with them today, maybe 6 months, a year from now, they'll turn into a customer. No company looks at it and says, well, we have a backlog today. We're kind of built up. You know, let's stop looking for customers. Well, finding top talent is the flip side of that same coin. Are your hiring managers, are your people, is your organization so sophisticated that you, just like you're looking for customers all the time, you're always looking for top talent? Doesn't mean you have to hire them. Doesn't mean they have to be willing to come on board just like a customer, but it does mean you have to be looking for them. If your organization is going to continue to look for candidates or people when you need one, you are always going to be in a reactive hiring mode. And as long as you're in a reactive hiring mode, you will never, ever find top talent. The fact is, top talent do not look for a job on your schedule. They look for a job on their schedule. And if you decide I need somebody today, Thursday, you missed top talent that looked on Wednesday. You missed top talent that looked on Monday. You missed top talent that looked 2 weeks ago. And so you get whoever looks today. And reactive hiring is the biggest reason companies have a hard time finding people. It's also the biggest reasons why recruiters can find people, because we are always looking for a top talent. The biggest challenge you will have in your organization is getting the paradigm shift from we look for candidates and people when we need one to how do our people, our managers, our leaders, look for top talent all the time. So when we need somebody, we already have a queue of people, of potential candidates or potential referrals. And so today we're going to try and talk about a little bit how to be more proactive. But if you are looking for people today and you're behind the power curve, we call it you're into desperation hiring. What can we do today to at least bring some of that top talent to the table?
Hey, Brad, we just got a question in. If there isn't an opening and you have people that are top or A players, how do you keep them engaged during that time?
The same way you do your customers. When you call on a customer and they say, I'm not looking for anybody, does that mean you never call on them again? How about keeping engaged with them, such as connecting with them on LinkedIn? How about from time to time, once a month, every second month, once a quarter, sending them a little news article about your company? How about every 6 months, just like your salespeople do, they call on them and say, hey, just in the neighborhood, thought I'd stop by and see if I could talk to you. How about contacting that A player and saying, hey, we haven't talked for 6 months. Let's meet for coffee at Starbucks one morning. How about inviting them to an online event like you're doing today, Dana? How about just nurturing them along, called drip marketing? Just because you contact a candidate or an A player doesn't mean you have to hire them today. There's lots of ways to continue to engage them. The fact is, most top talent isn't even looking. They have a 12 to 18 month, maybe 2 year time frame before they really want to make a job change. And so over that 18 to 12 months, just connecting with them, staying in touch with them, sending them information on what's going on in your organization. If they're in your industry, sending them a little email that says, hey, did you see this on our industry? What's going on in our industry? If your company's won an award, connecting with them and saying, hey, we just won this award. There are so many ways that once a quarter, twice a quarter, you can drip market to them just like your salespeople do when they call on them to keep them engaged, more so than always having to hire somebody. It's about the engagement and relationship process, not the hiring process. I hope that answered the question.
That's perfect. Thank you.
So the fact is, the first thing that companies have to realize in today's market, they are not in control. The candidate is in control of finding people. Candidates look when they want. Candidates know that they can go out at top talent in particular, can go out at any time they want and find a new job. So they are in control of the marketplace, not the company. And companies tend to think that, well, I'm in control of this hiring process, so I can look for somebody when I need somebody. The fact of the matter is, top talent in today's market in particular will be working. I'm trying to get this slide to move forward, and there seems to be a delay, Dana. Let me do it. The control thing for the slide, Dana, just did something weird on me, and I don't know how to advance this to the next bullet point. Did everything just go blank for everybody? Dana? Hello?
It should be up now.
I don't have it. I just have a blank screen on my where the slide steps up. I just have a blank thing and a weird bar in my control slides.
Huh. Why don't you just keep going, Brad? Let me know when you're go to the next slide, and I'll do it.
So I really want to watch the next bullet point, or you can open up all of slide two. So okay, the fact is, top talent's going to be working right now, so you are not going to get to them by running an ad. Top talent's working. They're not looking at ads every single day. Only people looking at ads every single day are those people unemployed or aggressively looking for a job. I mentioned earlier, top talent looks on their schedule, not on your schedule. And companies have to be aware of that just because I run the ad on Thursday doesn't mean top talent's going to look at it. If you want to engage top talent and you need to open today, my question is, why weren't you looking 6 months ago? I was talking with a lady, a CEO in Phoenix earlier this week, and she said, we're going to hire six or eight people this week, and we're desperate this year and 10 next year, and we're desperate to get these two hired right now. And I said, well, do you know those six to eight people, those positions you're going to be hiring the rest of the year and most of the positions next year? She said, yes. And I said, well, why aren't you looking now for those six, eight people? Why are you going to wait till June, October, and November when you need them? You have to change how they work. And that's going to be the biggest paradigm shift everybody in this company is going to have to look at, because it's not HR's responsibility to do this. This is your manager's, your leader's responsibility to be looking all the time. HR cannot, and recruiters cannot possibly cover all of the team, all of the positions you have open. But the fact of the matter is, they can do this with an hour and an hour and a half a month on just thinking about hiring. Not a lot of time. Hour to an hour and a half a month can change the queue on how you hire. Okay, there we go, Dana. Mine just popped. I can now see it.
Okay, I just moved to the next slide.
That's fine. Perfect timing. So what do you have to do? Number one, if you want to find top talent, since candidates are in control, companies have to understand, step number one, if I want to bring top talent to the table, It's about what's going to motivate that candidate to engage you, not what the company is going to motivate the company. It's not the company. What's going to motivate me to want to hire a candidate? It's what's going to motivate a candidate to engage us. And that's the question every single leader in the organization, when we start a job search, should be asked. You should get the hiring team together, and by the hiring team, I mean everybody in the interviewing process, sit around a conference table and ask this question. What's going to be motivate a top talented candidate to want to engage us? What do we have to promote so that that top talented path will want to talk to us? Basically, top talent right now, when they go on the job boards, are thinking about one thing. What's in it for me? They don't give a rip about what's in it for you, the company. They don't give a rip for you about what's the important, what you think's important in the position. Sorry, the fact is they're looking on the job board. They're going online and thinking, well, what's in it for me? What's exciting out there for me? What's going to make me so excited that I see a job posting and I want to send that resume to you? And the fact is, most job postings today are all about what's in it for the company and what the company's, what we call demands are. And therefore, top talent rarely, if ever, engages you. So if you want to understand what's going to motivate top talent, Danny, would you go to the next slide? I don't have the
controls
anymore.
Just, two questions came in, Brad. First question is, what trends are you seeing for how to find these folks? And the second question is the process different for the government or civil service sector?
Actually, no. And it's not different. So let me ask the first one, is the process different from caring? No, it's really not. It's the same process. Top talent want the same thing, whether you're in government or whether you're in nonprofit. Now, granted, in government, they tend to be more, we need these specific things or we just positively, absolutely cannot hire you. I understand that. But you're still trying to get the best of, still trying to get top talent. And top talent changes from, you know, top talent in one company may not be top talent in another company because of the culture and a lot of different reasons. So you're still trying to get top talent. The best way to do it is get to that person's motivation so they'll engage you. And that's really what we're talking about today. Karen,
so
either way,
it's the same. Okay.
How do we get them to engage us? Because if they don't engage us, we'll never find them. That's exactly right. The trends we're finding are very simple. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Number one, the trend we're talking about today is candidates are much more selective. They're thinking about themselves. Millennials thinking about themselves. What's in it for me? So the old way of advertising in the 90s and the 2000s don't work anymore because candidates are thinking about them. The trend, second trend we're seeing is companies need, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about this one today. This could be a whole other topic, Dana. How do we use social media to engage? Because that's where the trend is. Millennials, people that are 20 and going to graduate in 5 years, they're all about social media. People that are 25 to 30 right now, all about social media. Most of them are finding their jobs not through Indeed, not through Monster, but through social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, their friends using social media, connecting with them. My son just found a job in New York. He didn't look on Indeed. He got it through a friend in New York who said, hey, Mark, our company's looking for somebody. I know you're interested in this. You think it might be something you should take a look at. That came through Facebook, social media. So the trend is social media, not running ads. But how you motivate candidates stays the same. All top talent want a minimum of three things. And you have to address these three things. And it's the company's responsibility to address these three issues, not the candidate to seek them out. Now, there's a lot of sub-reasons, but the three things that all top talent want is, number one, they want a great opportunity. And that's the day-to-day work they're going to be doing, not the boring day-to-day work. No top talent wants to do the boring day-to-day work. Let's take an accounting person. They're not excited about the fact that as my accountant, you get to prepare journal entries, you get to prepare financial statements, you'll reconcile bank accounts. They already know that. I mean, if they're an accounting manager with a degree in accounting and they don't know that they got to prepare journal entries, prepare financial statements, and manage accounts payable, you got a whole other set of problems right now than that. They don't know that stuff. That's not what's going to motivate them to come to work for you because they're already doing that. What's going to motivate them in that job is, what are the challenges of that job? We're going to implement a new ERP system. You're going to have an opportunity to revamp our accounting system. You will have an opportunity to develop and grow people. That's the challenge. That's the fun of getting up every single day. It's not doing the day-to-day routine that every job has. It's doing the exciting stuff. Not being in HR that you'll get to fill out the personnel files and you'll get to make sure that all the boxes are checked correctly on their application. And as my HR manager, you'll make sure that everybody goes through open enrollment and all the cards are filled out correctly. You already know you have to do that. What are the fun things in HR that you're going to do that you're not doing now? This is about the work, the opportunity, the company. The second thing they want to work for once they find a grant is a great company. What's the vision of your company? What's the values of your company? Do we share those? Is it a fun, exciting place to work? Is it a place that engages people? Is it an empowering organization? Are your values around integrity, customer service, communication, are those values we share together so I know I'll fit in your culture? And finally, and probably the most important, is this a person I want to work for? Top talent want to grow. Top talent don't want to work for somebody that says, you know, you're coming in as an accountant, an HR person, and that's your box. Stay in your box because I'm not going anywhere. And for the next rest of your career, this is your job. You think top talent's going to get excited about that, working for that person? Do you think top talent's going to walk out and say, well, I can't wait to work for a person that's going to pigeonhole me? Top talent want to work for exciting people, people that will help them grow and learn, people that help expand that box every single year. So that top talent person looks back and says, you know, I'm a better accountant today than I was a year ago when I started this position. If you can't bring those three things to the table, opportunity, company, and boss, you're going to have a hard time attracting top talent. Dana, can we go to the next slide?
Sure can. There we go.
So if you're behind the power curve now and you have to run an ad, the first thing to understand is good advertising is about the reader, not the writer, with the exception of hiring. For some reason, there's an exception there. You think of Apple, Nike, McDonald's, their ads are all directed to get that listener, that reader of that ad, that person that sees that ad, so excited, they're going to go to an Apple store and buy an Apple product. They're going to buy a Nike product. So excited, they're going to go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. It's all about the reader. If you think of hiring ads, read most hiring ads. They're all about the writer, the company. The company steps back, and in many ads, lists what they even say this in the ad. You must have X. That's all about the company. These are our list, the company of demands, that if you don't have this, and this is the part I love about most advertising for hiring, the only place you will ever see an advertisement that says, do not contact us, is in a hiring ad. Can you imagine Apple running an ad for their iPad, and then at the end of the ad on the TV screen pops up and says, please don't come to our store unless you are credit worthy to buy one of our products? Only in advertising do we tell people, if you don't have all of this, do not contact me, because you know why? I'm really busy. You know, we're kind of busy over at our company. You top talent who are working, you're not so busy. You can just go away if you don't have it. But we're really busy right now, and so we don't want to talk to you. So what does top talent do? Exactly what you ask them to do. They don't contact you because there's nothing motivational in that ad, because they don't care about what's in it for you. They care about what's in it for them. You haven't demonstrated to them in your ad why this is such a great opportunity to motivate you to send me your resume. You haven't demonstrated in that ad why this is such a great company that you want to go home tonight, put a resume together and send it to me because you want to work here. And you haven't demonstrated in that ad how this boss, their new boss, is going to help them learn, going to help them impact the organization and grow. So as a result, top talent reads your ad, look at it and says, well, that's what's in it for them. I don't see anything so compelling in this ad that I get excited about. Boom, click out. I'll check back 30, 60, 90 days. You know, I'm not in any hurry to find a new job. I got a good job. I like it, but I'm not in any hurry. I'll check back in 30, 60, 90 days, and you missed top talent for the wrong reasons. If you want to start engaging top talent through advertisements, now not through social media, I don't have a lot of time to talk about that, Dana, and again, maybe that's a topic we should talk about.
We're definitely going to do that. Good idea.
So if you're behind the power and you got to run an ad, start thinking about the candidate. Again, bring that hiring team together and ask the question, what is going to motivate that candidate to be so excited that if they don't even have a resume put together, they're going to go home tonight after reading my ad and put one together, just like Apple, Nike, and Mikey did. They're going to be so excited about this ad, they're going to run to my store, and they're going to wait in a two-hour line starting at 5:30 in the morning, hope they can buy an iPhone. That's motivation. So let's walk through each of these three things, opportunity, company, and boss, and talk about how you can use them to engage candidates.
Brad, two questions came in before we move forward. Will this process change for hiring a remote worker or remote workers? That's number one. And the second question is, any suggestions on how to reduce the time it takes to hire someone?
Okay. So let me ask. So the first, virtually no, the process doesn't change much for remote. And by remote, I assume you don't mean somebody working out of their house. I mean, I'm in California. I'm going to hire someone in Texas, New York, or somewhere else in the country. The process really doesn't change. But what does change, Dana, and again, it's the mix between the weight you put on running an ad and the weight you put on social media. That does change. But the process, no, it's the same. Because whether you're in California hiring somebody in Texas, you still want to hire top talent in Texas. You still got to get to that person's underlying motivation to engage you, to send you that resume when you're looking for somebody in Texas. So that doesn't change.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Dana, what was the second question?
Second one is suggestions of how to reduce the time it takes to hire someone. I think you've addressed this. It's a constant.
It's a constant, and the way to reduce it, we go back to social media. The way to reduce it is don't start the hiring process when you need somebody, so you have to run an ad. Start the hiring process 6 months earlier. Maybe you start running your ad 6 months earlier and finding people who aren't in any hurry to make a job change. They'll make a job change whenever they want, but they're ready to make a job change over the next 6 months. I'm working with a candidate in two searches I'm doing right now. The search has been going on for 4 months, and then we still have candidates there. The same people are going through the process, a very sophisticated process. They're going through it. Why? They're top talent. They're not aggressive on the job market. They're saying, hey, I wasn't looking for a job when I started this, and if this is the right role, I'm in no hurry. Let's engage those people. They're often called passive candidates. Let's engage those people, and we've got that time to go through it. So the timing changes if you have people already in the queue. Can you imagine how the time would change if I had three people in the queue already because I started the search 6 months ago? Or I'm always looking for people, and over the last 12 to 18 months, I found four or five good people who could, maybe they're candidates, or they could even refer me to people. That's how you reduce the time. Reactive hiring, you're never going to reduce the time.
Brad, one more question here. Thank you for answering this. One more question, and we're going to go to the next slide. What is the perspective when we say tight market? Are we talking about nationwide searches? What industry? What type of jobs?
That's a really good question that I have never been asked before. But when I think of a tight market today, so Dana, I have to have a little question because I don't see it here. My screen's going off and on. But let me ask. So to me, a tight market is where it's very a tight market is where it's hard to find people, where you have low unemployment, and typically nationwide now we're at 5%. I was in Austin. I mentioned earlier this week. Their unemployment is something like 3.6%. I was in so many places, I forgot where I was. North Carolina. And I was in Charlotte. They said our unemployment is here 3.9%. I talked to a lady in Phoenix. It's something like 4%. So when you, the tight market, we have 4%, the number of people actively looking for a job isn't out there anymore. Now, that fluctuates too. And you mentioned it by job. Yeah, it's brutally hard to find engineers right now, brutally hard to find technical people right now because there's such a huge demand for it. So when I say a tight market, it's where the number of it's the old thing, supply and demand. It's where supply is low and demand is high, and therefore it's very competitive to find these people, and it's very hard to find these people, and that could be nationwide, industry, or by job.
That's right. Geography is huge. One more question. This is a great question. In most organizations, is it IT that can help HR get social media going in support of the recruiting process?
No, not necessarily, because most companies, first off, LinkedIn, you don't need IT to get LinkedIn. You need an HR policy around social media, but you don't need LinkedIn. Chances are you already have a Facebook, so how are we engaging people on Facebook? Chances are, now this one you will need them. It's not too much social media, but it's part of the process of the company. Most career sites that I go to, career pages that I go to on websites, they're not a career page. They're a job posting page. I look at them and, okay, they posted their open jobs. Well, they already did that on Indeed. They're not real career pages. The company page on LinkedIn is very poor. So certainly IT can play a role in this, but much of it is the company setting a platform to engage their people in social media and using social media as a way. Think about it. The company I was talking to in Austin today, I said to them, if you have 10 managers, 10 leaders, and each of them had 500 connections in their industry, in their functional area, and you had a position that came, one of the positions you talked about there in the restaurant industry, one of the positions that you open now is in the restaurant industry, you now blast this out to your contacts in LinkedIn, you just hit 5,000 people. Well, that's more than people are going to see your ad on Indeed. And they're targeted. They're in the restaurant industry, and they're targeted. That's substantially more than you're going to hit. What if you put a blast on link on Facebook? We have 40,000 people on Facebook. What if you just posted once? No, you don't want to harass Facebook, your customers. Just once you post up, you're looking for hiring people. That's 40,000 people you just hit. That's a lot more than you get on LinkedIn. So IT can play a small role in this, but there's a lot you can do without IT.
And it's a marketing role also for planning.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Breck, I want to make sure these are great questions and huge topics, and we're going to do another program with Brad on using social media for recruiting. Let's go to the next slide.
Okay.
Marketing.
Yep. So let's do with this. So I'm going to take you to this opportunity company in Boston, kind of give you an idea of how you can alter this and make your ad more compelling around these three categories. So first one, opportunity. If you're going to run an ad, the first paragraph should be about the opportunity, not the company. This statement should be, look, I say with a lot of you, meaning you will have the opportunity. You will lead. Speak to the reader. Give them challenges. Don't sell the activity that they're going to be doing, such as journal entries, preparing financial statements. Sell the impact on the role. Make it about the challenges. Let me just give you an example. Let's say I'm looking for an accounting manager. Instead of saying, you must have financial statement preparation. You must have month-end closing. You must have accounts payable and accounts receivable. You must have payroll experience. You must have a bachelor's degree. You must. What if instead we integrated those into a compelling marketing that said something like, are you someone who enjoys detail? Are you the type of person that is creative and enjoys challenges? Do you get excited about impacting an accounting department? If you answered yes to those three questions, you might be excited about coming to work for Brad Remillard Enterprise as our accounting manager. Here we go. Listen for the word you. When you come on board as our accounting manager, you will help lead us as we improve our financial reporting. You will lead our accounting, accounts payable, and accounts receivable department to ensure that we are maximizing our discounts with our vendors and ensuring that we maximize cash flow as we work with our customers. As our accounting manager, you will lead a team of people that help them grow and help them develop the best accounting department in our industry. You will be the person developing financial statements. But more importantly, you will help tell the story behind the numbers to help our leadership and our accounting line and our line managers learn more about how they can run their business. Our accounting manager is not about just putting numbers in a box. It's about you helping us understand what those numbers mean. Now, to me, I've told them they're going to prepare financials. I've told them they're going to run. But I said it in a way that makes it exciting for them coming on board. Like, hey, you're not just going to be a green-eyed shade accountant. Our accounting manager, we rely on you more than just putting numbers in a box. Now, it's got to be true, of course, or they're going to quit. But I spoke to them motivation. I spoke to them change. I talked to them with you. I didn't sell the must-have. I sold the impact of the role. I sold why top talent. It's not boring work. It's exciting work because it's meaningful work. And it's challenging work. Dana, let's go to the next slide.
All righty. Pop that up. There we go.
I didn't talk about the company other than to sell Brad Remillard Enterprises. I didn't say one thing about the company in that last paragraph. Because the order is very in companies. First top talent looks for the opportunity. Then they look for the company. And then the boss. So the first paragraph, I said nothing. This was all about the job. This is kind of your must-have, financial reporting, accounts payable, blah, 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 all those things. But I put it in an exciting way. The second paragraph, now talk about your company. Now blow your horn. Now talk about your values. Talk about your environment. Talk about your culture. Share your rewards. Share your vision. So after they read about the, let's just take that accounting manager role, we'll continue it. Now they read about Brad Remillard Enterprise. Brad Remillard Enterprise is a family-oriented business. We've been around for 15 years. We are considered a leader in our industry, and we have won numerous awards from customers and our vendors about being the top X in our industry. I'm in Orange County, California. Orange County Business Journal ranked us one of the best places to work and one of the fastest-growing companies in Orange County. As a family-oriented company, we believe in empowering people, helping them grow to their highest potential, and we believe in a collaborative, team-oriented environment. Our values are we value integrity in our customers, in our vendors, and how we do business. We value the work-life balance. We understand you have to work hard, but we understand time with our family is important to help re-energize us when we come back to work on Monday morning. We strive for a fun place to work, and we are an award-winning organization. If you share our vision of growing, of being part of an industry leader, and having the integrity, and working for a family-oriented, collaborative environment, you will find the culture that you're looking for at Brad Remillard Enterprises. What did I sell there? I sold the company. I made the company sound exciting. Now, again, got to be true. But I talked about why you want to work here. I talked about where we want to take this company. I shared how we want to move across lines to become more compelling and the exciting part of our company. Go to the next slide.
All righty.
Now, the last one isn't necessarily a paragraph, but it might be two or three sentences, at the end of the company paragraph where I talk about the boss and the type of person you will be working for. So let's continue it. If you get excited about this culture and you share our values, Brad Remillard Enterprise might be the cultural fit you've been seeking. Your direct supervisor is one of the leaders in our organization. As your direct supervisor, that direct supervisor, the controller, let's say, believes in challenging you to grow. Our controller takes an active role in ensuring that as our accounting manager, you have the opportunity to continue year after year to be challenged and grow in your career. We have a track record of promoting from within our organization because we believe the best people come from the people we have trained and mentored. You will see the controller as a mentor, active in your career to ensure that you reach your most potential. At Brad Remillard Enterprises, your controller agrees with us that we never believe in putting limits on someone's career. All I did was talk about my boss there, the controller. I put two or three sentences in saying, wow, this is the kind of person I want to work for. What you want to be able to do is I want someone out there who's not actively looking for a job, who woke up one morning and said, you know, I kind of like where I work. I like my job. It's fun. But, you know, my learning curve's starting to flatten out. If something came along over the next 6, 8, 12, 18 months with a great opportunity, a great company, and a great boss, I'd take a look at it. I'd engage them. I'd send them my resume. Don't know that I'd take the job, but at least it's a starting point. That's what that compelling marketing statement does. Now, if you're so compelled, after this, you can then put down that list of must-haves, particularly somebody asked about government. Often government has absolute hardcore requirements. And so the next section down, you can say, okay, you know, experience, requirements, you can put that after. But my point is, get them excited first and then put those must-have and requirements. But don't say must-have, you know, say preferred or say something else that lets them know to help them screen. But that should be towards the end, not up front. Again, let that person know, that accounting manager know, that when I read this, wow, this is the company I'm looking for, I'll send them my resume. So, Dana, let's go to the last slide.
Okay. And, Brad, when you're working with companies doing, not only do you do the recruiting, but you do the training also of how to recruit and interview and all this kind of thing, so then you can help give ideas of how to frame these specific marketing statements. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We work with a lot of companies just on a consulting basis, and they hire us to come in and develop these compelling marketing statements. They hire us to coach their managers on how to use social media. They hire us to come in and consult with them. Usually it's over the telephone, how to work with their managers on somebody asked about how do we get this process for remote or how do we bring this thing to social media, how to do that. Absolutely. But we do that usually over the phone on a consulting basis.
Okay.
So in summary, I would suggest you the following. Finding people is like finding customers. Don't wait until you meet somebody. If you know today, if you've already put your strategic hiring plan or your plan together for 2016, and you're saying the fourth quarter we're going to look for people, start in the beginning of the third quarter to start to engage people, whether it be on LinkedIn, social media, or running an ad. Don't wait. Your best salespeople, whether you have 10 people in your company or 10,000 people in your company, your best salespeople are your employees. Engage them to begin to start looking for people. Today's market, I'm sorry, top talent's in control, not the company, and you have to be thinking about that. This is not the 19 or recessions where supply and demand is for every job you got. Everyone's unemployed, so you got more candidates than you know what to do with. This is 2015, and by the way, somebody asked about the trend. Read the trends. You think it's bad now? Wait 5 years from now. With all the baby boomers retiring and the millennials coming up, this is just the tip of the iceberg of how tough it's going to be. So start today to develop those other techniques so you don't get into desperation hiring now. So 5 years from now, you're in the lead of this area of finding people, not paying catch-up.
You know, Brad, focus on, you brought up a really good point, Brad. Getting in their heads. So if you want to go into our publication section, and look, we did an open line a few months ago where we had a panel that was made up of millennials. And these are all go-getter millennials, but they were actually sharing what they want to see and hear in order to be attracted. It's exactly what Brad's been sharing. So if you want to hear it live and also how to manage them and that they're looking for the mentorship, you'll hear it live. So I'm sorry, Brad, I just wanted to mention that.
No, that is great because, I mean, that's what you want, right? I mean, hear it from the millennials. And I would say take what those millennials say and move it into your advertisement that we just talked about around company opportunity and boss. And I'll bet you as I listen to that, I could each one of those, although they're going to say it differently, Dana, each one I could say, okay, that's the opportunity they're really talking about, the job, and that's the company, that's the work-life balance, that's the boss, and that's the company culture. Those, it's going to fit into one of those categories.
Yep.
So when you start, focus on motivating the candidate. Bring your hiring team together and ask the question, is this ad so motivational that you, meaning somebody at the table, would put a resume together and get, if it's not, start over. And again, market the position like you market your products and service. Sell the sizzle, not the steak. My guess is when I went on everybody's website here, you're selling me all the benefits of your products. You're not selling me all the technical skills, technical side of the product. Now, that doesn't mean they're not technical. If you saw it, there aren't technical white papers available. But on the website, you're not selling that. You're selling the thing, just like Apple. Apple doesn't open the back of the iPhone and show you all this incredible encrypted technology and how they went through building it and developing it. You don't care. They're selling the sizzle. That's what you got to sell. And finally, please, I hope I get this clear here. Never, 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 ever use a job description for, use a traditional job description for a posting. That just turns top talent off. Instead, use what we call the compelling marketing statements, which we've been talking today. A compelling marketing statement focused on opportunity, company, and boss, not on the facts of the job, which the job description generally says. The job description is a must-have. That just turns top talent off. They look at that, they read that, say to themselves, I already got that job, boom, click out. Sell the marketing statement which says, ooh, that's the job I've been looking for. Engage them.
This is phenomenal, Brad. We're going to take one more question from the chat box, and then we're going to open up the line in just a few minutes. So last question for the chat box. How do you find top talent from students, those who have potential, not necessarily experience, and how do you convince the hiring managers to invest in internships?
Good question. First of all, I don't think you can talk. I would say, I'm not sure, it's funny you mentioned that, because today I was talking to that restaurant company in Austin, and that's what I asked. Hey, are you guys doing internships because you got the Texas A&M right here? We used to do them. I don't think you invest the managers. I think that's got to come from the top. Like most hiring, most processes got to come from the top. If the managers will follow what the leadership of the organization puts in. The leadership of the organization says we're going to build a strong internship program. Managers will go along with that. If leadership doesn't buy into it, it's really hard for that to do that. And how do you do that with students? What was the question, Dana? High five top talent with students, those who have the potential, but not. Oh, great question. So a couple of ways you do it with students coming right out of school, for example. Find out what they've learned in school. Top talent students will be not just A students, but they will have been in multiple clubs. They will have multiple leadership positions. They will, through their track record, have been in Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. They will have this track record of being top talent in whatever. In high school, they ran for president. In high school, they were on the swim team and on this team, or they were involved in this club. So look for those personality traits of being top talent. In the interview, if you want to get to the experience they've had, focus on the interview. I'll give you an example, real quick example. When I graduated from college, I graduated with an accounting degree. I was meeting with a company, and here was the question they had. I had no experience. Here was the question. They said, Brad, how would you do a cash disbursements audit? That might mean a lot to people. But what that person was looking for is, did I sleep through the auditing class? Or did I pick up, and though I've never done, I could say, well, at least with an audit, you got to, first thing you got to do is A. Second thing you got to do is B. I've never done one, but I know from my auditing class and from what I learned, you got to do B. This is what I would look for. So they at least said, okay, the guy gets enough brains to figure out they didn't sleep, the cash disbursement, let's see. That's checks we wrote. Let's look at the bank statement. Or did I look at it like a deer in the headlights? Like, so part of it is look at their personality and how they've done in school, not just grade-wise. But, for example, maybe they didn't do anything in school. You look at it and say, well, okay, if you don't do anything in school and all you are is a student, yeah, you should get good grades. Then you talk to them and say, yeah, but my family situation, I had to go to school at night because I worked full-time. Well, I was going to school 50, 60 hours a day. Oh, and you still got a 4.0 average? That's pretty impressive. So look at the whole of the person and then take one or two criteria they should have learned in school and ask them about how they do it. That's how I deal with students or entry-level roles.
That's phenomenal, Brad. And that's a whole other topic. We are going to do another program in social media. Brad could address that a little bit further. Brad, do you want to talk real quickly about the free resources?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dana. So let me just suggest there's a couple of free resources on my website you can download. There's more than these two. There's a whole bunch of resources that are free, 100% free. I'm not trying to sell you anything. So one is you can go to bradremelar.com and sign up for what we call 52 hiring tips. You just send an email to me. My assistant will put you into our database. And over the next, that's one a week, over the next 52 weeks, you'll get a quick little short. They're usually one paragraph of questions I've been asked on every hiring topic I can think of. And I just give a one paragraph short response to that. And you can send it out. It's a great little tips to send out to your team that are relevant. The important thing to know here is you're going to get 53 emails from me, one introducing, saying thanks, and then 52. You're not going to get any selling. You're not going to get any spamming. You're not getting any marketing. You're going to get 53 emails, and you will never hear from me again unless you engage me. So I'm not trying to put you into a database and sell to you the rest of my life. Isn't going to happen. I'm not the IRS. I don't do that. If you want, also on my website, you can download a free copy of our book called You're Not the Person I Hired. You can buy it on Amazon, too, but you can download. It's a PDF, so it's a little bit more difficult to read, but it's a PDF. It's free. And it talks about the five steps of the process. You know, we've sold more than 10,000 books, so when you go into that, Amazon obviously says you might want to take a look at this book, but it's called You're Not the Person I Hired, and you can download a PDF of that also. Plus, there's some other there's a culture. You want to do a culture assessment of your organization. That's a fun one because you find out most people don't even agree on what your culture is, and I always wonder. Well, how do you get fit if nobody agrees on what your culture is? Everybody's doing something else. And Dana can help you on that, too. So there's a lot of the free resources at bradremelar.com. But I would suggest those two as a minimum.
If you don't have the book, by the way, You're Not the Person I Hired, I call it the Bible of Hiring, that you should have copies for all the hiring managers. And you can get this free download, but I'd buy it on Amazon so you have a hard copy and you can mark it up and talk about it. We're going to close this segment of the program down. You can talk to Brad directly, but we're going to open up the line in just about 30 seconds. I want to thank, first of all, Brad for being on the program today. I'm going to turn off the recording feature in just a minute because people that do the Q&A live tend to not want their voices recorded. If you'd like to sign up for our next program, it will be on March 24th. The title is The Secret Sauce, A Recipe for Growth. Mark Emmer will be our guest. Mark is a national speaker on this topic. He's just absolutely phenomenal. Thank you, everybody, for attending our program today. Let me turn off the recording feature, and we're going to be right back. Now, we do have quite a number of people on the call today, on the program, so I'd ask everyone to put your phone on mute and then unmute it if you have a question for Brad. So we'll be back in just a second here.